All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. And today we are launching a brand new show, a brand new fantastic, informative and important show. And I'm joined in studio for Ulwazi by none other than the one and only Mr. Neshila, joining us here in studio today. Mr. Neshila, how are you doing today, this morning?
Nana, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And first, before we get into our, you know, discussing what we want to discuss today, maybe you can share with the listeners, what does Ulwazi actually mean?
All right. Basically, Ulwazi is a Zulu name.
Mm-hmm.
Which I literally was having a discussion with my dad and some colleagues at the office,
yeah,
regarding how to establish this show and basically how to develop something that Namibia needs. And Ulwazi basically means it's knowledge in Zulu,
mm-hmm,
and also equally so in isiXhosa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically how, because the idea is we want to share informed information based on data for the audience. And, you know, most conversations in the previous are mostly driven by the strongest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But now we want to look at data,
mm-hmm,
and to do the interpretation as to how does it inform us and how does it impact our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
100%. And like you said, we are here to spread knowledge. We're here to spread information, data-based information, not just the loudest voices saying things that may not be verified by facts. So I'm very glad that you're here to give us that information. And before we get into what we want to discuss today, which we will be discussing the town of Oshakati, maybe you can just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, your background, and how you accumulated this wealth of knowledge that you're going to be sharing with us today.
Yeah, basically, Neshila is a chap that was born in Walvis Bay.
Yeah.
And then I grew up in Swakopmund, where, mm-hmm, I did my primary school up to grade 12. And obviously, I used to live most of the time with my dad because my mom was more based in the north.
Mm-hmm.
So as like any other Shivambo speaking parents, mostly our fathers were the ones doing the work and the women are looking after the homestead in the north. And from the homestead, I'm basically from the area of Onga on Andova.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're from. And looking back at my schooling, I basically started, my high school was at Herman Gemeine. Mm-hmm. From there onwards, I went to NIMT, where I did heavy equipment mechanic in Dieselmac.
Mm-hmm.
Finished that, and then I with N3, and then I went to South Africa to go do my N6 in Cape Town, Thornton.
Yeah.
And while I was studying there, I used to visit a couple of friends at CPUT and UCT. And
yeah.
I think that really grew up on me. And then after I finished the N6 program, I then went to CPUT, which is Cape Peninsula now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a 4-year degree in architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And then from architecture, then I did 3 years in urban and regional planning,
okay,
which people call it town planning. And then from town planning, and I did another 3 years in property studies.
Mm-hmm.
So in planning, I did an honors and a master's in property studies. I also did a master's in property studies. And then from there on, I went to UCT to do development finance. I still owe one module, which is risk management.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that I finalize it this year,
mm-hmm,
so that we can get that degree home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I equally now basically run a company, which is called Kamau Town Planning and Development Specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it is an extension from the architectural practice, which is Kamau Architects and Associate.
Yeah.
So we just extended it to Kamau Town Planning and Development Specialist. Basically, that's where we do a lot of land issue valuations, research analysis, and so forth. But now the biggest question, whenever I do the housing symposiums at the first Green Hydrogen Conference, I did a symposium with the Bank of Namibia, did a housing symposium with Sanlam and the Economic Association. The biggest question is always data.
Mm-hmm.
And that now basically start asking questions as to how do we get around this, how do we provide data. So we then started to develop the idea of a research-based company oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where basically now Ulwazi was formed. Now, when we formed Ulwazi, we then developed an AI database, and that is basically what we're now working on to generate data on a very, very fast pace.
Yeah.
Some work that we used to do for 3 months, we are now doing it just below 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
Yes.
Yes. So it's wonderful, the things that technology can do for us and for the listeners. I hope you were able to take in that the knowledge that we are going to be spreading here on this show is being given to us by a very knowledgeable and qualified man. So maybe lastly, can you maybe share with the listeners why is it important to listen to the information that you're going to be giving us in regards to land, in regards to town development? Why is this something that we need to discuss as a nation?
Yeah, you see, for me, what really triggers the idea on data analytics mm-hmm. is just that's where everything is heading to.
Yeah.
To be able to understand property investment, land-related issue, you need to understand what is the impact on data. Now, what we're going to do is basically we look at the data
mm-hmm.
and we're also trying to give the audience the understanding on policy.
Yeah.
And basically, what are the good initiatives which government is doing,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like a lot of people have no understanding as to what the government is currently doing in the policy space to enhance land delivery, to enhance property development, and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And these are the key aspects that we want to, throughout this program, that we want to impact. And equally so that we want to focus on a particular town,
yeah.
look at that data, and basically give the audience an in-depth in terms of decision-making and investment-related issues. Yeah.
100%. And today's focus, or today's town that we're going to be focusing on, is the town of Oshakati. So before we dive into the data, maybe you can give the listeners a bit of a historical breakdown of how Oshakati came to be what it is today.
Yeah, I'm not so extremely well vested on the historical aspect of Oshakati, but perhaps I can just provide an overview.
Yeah.
I mean, the historical name Oshakati Shipindi is basically a trading area.
Okay.
And that's basically the essence of Oshakati. It's a trading space. It's one of the northern strong anchor in terms of entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
and hence it's developing on a very, very fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it's probably the most financially driven informal trade center, of which the Oshakati Town Council really invested a lot in their informal trading capacity, to close to a tune of 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that infrastructure, it could probably be less, but in today's value, it could easily fetch such attributes, because when you evaluate an asset, you need to look at its incomes it's generating
mm-hmm.
for it to give it the right market value.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically the magnitude of what Oshakati have provided. And I think we should really give them an applause in terms of informal sector investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really wonderful.
So this investment you're speaking of, this happened like when the town was initially formed. Is it? Did I get that correctly?
No, initially it's over a transition.
Mm-hmm.
What the asset only happened post independence. It could easily run about 10 to 15 years
mm-hmm.
that structure was put up. And I think it's just a brilliant idea from Oshakati. And I think a lot of towns are trying to emulate that, but they can't get it right.
Yeah.
But there is something unique in Oshakati that is just, it's a special trading area.
Mm-hmm. So now starting to dive into a bit of the data, what are some of the points that you would like to touch on today when it comes to the data aspect of the town of Oshakati?
Yeah. Basically, today, our key focus, we are going to dwell down into the rental market, and then we're
mm-hmm.
also going to dwell down into the forecast sales market
mm-hmm.
for Oshakati. But for the purpose of this discussion, because the rental market is a bit on the shallow side, we are going to look into those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the rental data that we are going to discuss as of today, we are talking about is as fresh as 10 hours.
Okay, yeah, like 10 hours ago?
Yeah, we extracted the report in 10 hours. And that's the reason why we're saying Ulwazi and basically to bring to the audience the critical need and understanding of what is AI-informed informed data.
Yes.
And we're just quickly going to dwell into the numbers. As I said, it's very shallow because the total, basically we are looking at the listing. The total listing in this, you know, Oshakati currently is only 20 properties.
Before you continue, we have a caller on the line already. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning.
What would you like to share with us?
Yes, you have a very informative show, guys. So I used to live in Oshakati, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how the town was growing.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, how big is Oshakati in terms of square kilometers?
Mm-hmm.
And where does that rank in Namibia? And lastly, how far can the town still grow?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Vincent.
All right, thank you very much. Our expert will answer your question in just a moment.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. So let me just repeat the question for you. So she said that she used to live in Oshakati, and she said she saw how the town has been growing over the years, and what she wanted to know is how big is Oshakati in terms of square kilometers, and how much room is there still for expansion before, you know, maybe it spills over into other cities? Was her question.
All right. Thank you for the question. In terms of square kilometers, I do not have it on top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can easily, if you go on Google and you just click on the boundaries, it'd be able to give you the square's footprint of Oshakati. In terms of the available land, any development town in the northern areas is actually challenged in terms of expansion, because it's bordering communal areas.
Okay.
So that becomes quite a huge challenge to be able to expand. But the opportunities are vast. It got very good pockets. It's just that what Oshakati needs to do now is more focus on their infrastructure space.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that Oshakati, in terms of land delivery, is amongst the top two in the country. In terms of land delivery, they are pushing very hard in that space.
Yeah.
But their engineering department, I believe that it's a bit failing them.
Mm-hmm.
But the failing is not necessarily to say they are doing a bad job. It's just that the intensity and the capital cost for infrastructure is quite high.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of equally so on the development side of things, a lot of negotiation needs to take place with the traditional authority around Oshakati to expand.
Mm.
We're also looking at the expansion of the Okwangula area settlement. That's a very beautiful approach in terms of innovative thinking from the Oshakati Town Council.
Mm-hmm.
Currently now in the north, I must say they have the best negotiation skills with traditional authorities.
Okay.
So they have a very transparent process, and hence its growth.
Yeah.
They don't struggle really to acquire land because they allow the community to be involved.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, following up on that, what is it about? Is it the community? Is it what Oshakati as a town is proposing that they have such a good relationship with the traditional authorities?
Yeah, I think the traditional authorities in close proximity to Oshakati, they also equally realize the importance, essence of that urban node.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm saying so, it's very key. There's an event, I think they call it Oshipatapata, that happens, I think, 2 days in a week, where a lot of people come in and they trade extensively, and where people from the rural areas bring their goods into the urban node, and that's a very beautiful thing, and it's creating that activity. I think there was, I had a discussion with one of my colleagues, I can't remember on top of my head who it was, and he says that the livelihood of the urban nodes, especially in Oshakati and the northern areas, is basically sustained from the people around the communal areas.
Okay. So
that becomes now very important, that you need to protect that golden goose that is feeding you. So the moment you start disturbing it and try to incorporate it into urban areas, you might just kill that element that is keeping you active.
100%. Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic that's taking place there. Now, the number in the studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401, if anyone has any questions. But in the meantime, before the caller had come in, we were talking about the rental listings available in Oshakati. You may proceed with that.
Yes. Basically, what we're looking at currently now on the listing, when we're talking about the listing, is looking at the different websites that are having rental properties for Oshakati.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically what we were able to extract. And as I said previously, we are looking at 20 listings, of which 80% of those listings is apartments. And while we're only having four houses.
Is that a good or a bad ratio?
Well, it's what it tells you is that there's not very good returns in rent on the rental market in Oshakati, and there's different factors that are basically attributes to that, which is such as the more the government starts investing into to rural infrastructure and tarred roads, it then takes like 4 or 5 minutes to get to Oshakati, and people would rather go rent built in the rural areas and come work in Oshakati. It's much cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to dodge rate and taxes.
Yeah.
So the more capital investment in the road infrastructure, of which Namibia is one of the top countries on the African continent. So the rural, the urban centers surrounded by communal areas are going to suffer in terms of the rental market.
Yeah.
But also very much so, there is the property sales in northern Namibia as not as intense in your prime areas such as Windhoek, Wolfish Bay and Swakopmund. And literally, when we look at the data to be able to assess where is everything happened. So basically, mostly it's in Oshakati Central. That's where you have most of the most of the listing. And then we have one in Oshakati. We have one in Oshakati East. And when we look at the price distribution per month, we are looking at 5,000. While in the Oshakati East, we are looking from a range between 15 to 30,000 in terms of the rental market. So that is, and basically on the apartments, we mostly look into two bedrooms. That is the highest stock on the listing currently, with 1 4-bedroom and the rest, and then a three bedroom house. So that's basically generally the basics aspects of the rental market. As I said, the rental market is not a very, very strong aspect in the northern areas. So if you're really going to invest in that space, you really need to look into. But what is also very interesting that is also then picking up is your Airbnb units in Oshakati. So the listings are basically picking up very high. And there is a huge appetite for boutique hotels. And it's quite an exciting space as the data continue to indicate that there is such growth in that space.
So not to cut you off, but what would you attribute that increase in Airbnbs and boutique hotels to? Is there something in particular attracting people to Oshakati for people to, you know, put their properties up in that manner?
Yeah, when you look at Oshakati, most of the conferences in northern Namibia is most probably host in Oshakati. So that is also one of the dynamics, the tourism attraction, the transport infrastructure, And equally so, the Totem Expo Expo also contribute a huge significance to that. And mm-hmm. and what equally is the one aspect is also the professionals that are coming to Oshakati for like your doctors, your lawyers, yeah. because there's a regional court.
Yes.
It's probably one of the best regional courts in northern Namibia that is. It's a very wonderful design by an architect, Eyad Roxin Architects,
mm-hmm.
assisted by Konjeni Kandi was a young architect back then,
mm-hmm.
and now she's running her own firm. Myself, I was also part of that, I did some drawings, some assisting while I was doing my internship at mm-hmm. Eyad Roxin Architects,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'm saying I really have a very vast knowledge in development. Because that's the space that I've been in.
100%.
So there's a lot of attributes to that, and people are moving away from your traditional hotel, your traditional bed and breakfast,
yeah.
more into boutique and unique setups, and yeah, it's really picking up in that space, and there's a huge development, but
yes.
The reason that is also driving the development is because there's no regulation on Airbnb. Yeah, there's no regulation. You just build your two-bedroom flat.
Mm-hmm.
There's no restriction, but people need to be very careful. A lot of local authorities are looking very sharp into it. Regulations are coming, so you need to measure your profits very well
mm-hmm.
because you are generating an income.
Yeah.
So you can't be treated like a guy who's just doing who doesn't generate an income from his property.
Yeah.
So I think it's unfair for the business people, but most of the local authorities are looking into it.
Yeah, and I also saw the I believe it was the Namibia Tourism Board said you have to, if you're doing an Airbnb thing, you have to like register with the Namibian Tourism Board, otherwise you could face a fine. But exactly how they would catch you, I'm not 100% sure on that as well.
Yeah. Now this is now where the trick needs to come in, and I think when you look at NAMRA and all those and the Ministry of ICT, they mm-hmm. need to have that conversation very, very soon.
Yeah.
Because you need to the online restriction. So basically the online trading platforms within the Namibian context is not regulated.
Mm.
And Airbnb literally say that, look, if you register with us, it's not a problem. But if Namibia put up a moratorium of Airbnb to say anyone to be registered on Airbnb needs to first issue you with a certificate
mm-hmm.
that has been approved to us. So that is a conversation that needs to happen. The quicker it happens, then obviously, because currently now our planning regulation and bylaws is really, it's basically having a deaf ear around it. So there's a lot of revenue lost, especially for local authority and government
yeah.
around Airbnb aspects. Yeah,
yeah, and that's it's a very interesting situation, and we'll probably at some sort of inflection point. So the next year or so will probably be very key in that aspect. But yes, we can dive deeper into the data of the town of Oshakati.
Yes, basically now what we're going to look at is we are going to look at the entire forecast sale
mm-hmm.
of the Oshakati property market. So when we're talking about the entire forecast sale, basically what we're looking at is what are the sales trends from 2016 up to 2026.
Okay.
So that is basically now what we're going to look. That is basically a 10-year spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of that 10-year spectrum, we are looking at the market value of 2.8 billion.
Okay.
So that is basically the property market catchment for Oshakati.
The 2.8 billion. That's how much all the property in Oshakati is worth,
yes,
basically.
Over a period of 10 years.
Okay.
So that is basically the key focus that we are looking at. Now, out of this 2.8 billion, we are looking at the transaction volume of 7,004. The transaction volume of 7,004
mm-hmm.
with a total market value of 2.8 billion. So that is what we're looking at. Now, the here it is. The most interesting aspects of this data,
mm-hmm.
it then gives us 403,559,000 in terms of the average price sale. Now, that is the average price sale, which is 400,000.
Okay.
But I think it's we need to hold it there. It's not to say that that is the medium price. So there is difference. There's a difference in dynamics in Oshakati.
Okay.
When you look at the transaction volume, 65% of the transaction volume is vacant service land. 65% of the transaction volume is vacant service land.
Tell the listeners what a vacant service land means.
Vacant service land, it means it's a property without any top structure, but it has the full services.
Okay.
So that is basically the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from a developer's perspective, if you have such data,
mm-hmm.
so if you then said you're going to build top structure, you're going to struggle to sell. So then when you do your calculations and your financial modeling, you need to look at where can you extract the quickest cash flow,
mm-hmm.
and where can you extract a long-term investment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for long-term investment, then obviously the 35%, that is the bracket you need to look at. And those are one of the interesting aspects of this data.
Yeah.
But when you dwell down into the data for you to be able then to understand as to where exactly is everything happening. So we have a Kuku, Oshakati, Oshifu, Efidi, Oshakati Extension 5, Onawa Extension 1, Mpumbu Extension 5, Ekuku Extension 2, Oshakati Extension 1,
mm-hmm.
and Okanjengedi. So these are the basically, and the highest recording is recorded in Ekuku with 2,035 transaction. Then it's Oshakati. When we're saying Oshakati, we mean Oshakati proper, the essence, the heart of Oshakati, where development has basically started, and
mm-hmm.
that is like 1,561. While in Oshifo, we are looking at 505,
yeah.
FED 208, so it's then, and then basically then cascades down to Okanjengedi 227. So that is basically your market understanding as to way how the transaction volumes are basically running.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously now, when you look at the volumes at Kuku of the 2.8, that's why I said it's very important when we have this data analytics,
mm-hmm.
the 2.8 billion should be our cap mark. Yeah.
Okay.
That we always need to keep in mind. And at Kuku is pushing a transaction volume of between like 1.6 billion.
So Ekuku is making up a big portion of this 2.8.
Yes, Ekuku is literally, and Oshakati Town Council has been raking in seriously that money because as when you look at the transaction volume,
mm-hmm.
From the town council to an individual, that's where most of your volume of the transaction is, which is quite very, very interesting,
mm-hmm.
which is then basically followed by Oshakati Central at 400, then it's a Shifo at 162 million, a Fidi 44 million, Oshakati Extension 5, 34 million, Onawa 24 million, Ompumbu 35 million, and a Kukwe Extension 2, we are looking at another push there of 31 million. This is quite remarkable numbers.
Yeah.
Oshakati is pushing out, but obviously, now, despite this entire excitement, they are reaching a bit of maturity aspects.
Mm-hmm.
As when you look at your 2026 transactions this far, we are looking at something less than 200, which is a bit below par than what we expect them to perform.
Yeah, because over the 10 years, it was around 700 transactions per year, right?
Yes, yes.
And now they are
7,004 transactions over a span of 10 years.
Yeah, so around 700 per year.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's.
So right. what do you think is happening in, was it Ekuku you said that's 1.8 billion?
Yeah.
What's driving that number in your opinion?
Ekuku is the fast growing area.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a mixed approach in Ekuku. There is a formalization also aspect element that is also happening in those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a new input of property transactions that are getting onto the market. So that is where basically And Oshakati is really driving Kuku. That's where their key focus. They know that's their revenue generation area.
Yeah.
They are pushing hard in that space. And yeah, big ups to them. Yes, there's other properties that are being in the process of being formalized that are also coming into the market. That registry, once it's been gazetted. Now, this is not a beautiful thing of Ulwazi, our data system. Once the government gazette is launched, so it extracts that data and it analyzes it, and it's readily available for the public to consume and to make informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and perhaps now, you know, with this AI, you're able to analyze things very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's giving us quite very, very informative information. Now, out of this entire transaction, 48% of this volumes is bought by single female. 48%. 48%. While the male is at round about 33%. The couples, the married couples are at 14%, and the companies are at 3%, and the council aspects, basically, we are looking at 1%.
The women of Oshakati are playing a serious game.
No, it's and I think this boils down when you look at our previous program on Eagle FM, that there's a lot of pressure on men. So it just shows you what Eagle FM is covering, a diverse aspect, and how those social impact also translates into investment aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts showing the crack. And I think the government is driving that agenda of the boy child. It's very, very, very critical.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can see how the social aspects are also coming into the investment space.
Exactly.
And how we need to protect our young boys so that we can keep them focused, so that they are able to build wealth. And also the couples, you can see there's a lot of strain in people that are married. So it's really not, this data here, basically you can unpack it in a different facets.
Exactly.
In terms of the social realm.
So, sorry, before you're going to continue, when you say now 48% of the transactions are from single females, is this all residential housing that they are purchasing, or is it as well, you know, like, are they purchasing properties for their businesses and so on?
Yeah. You see now it's for residential.
Okay.
Yeah, because when you buy a property and it's zoned business, it
will
then come under company.
Okay, and that company was only 3%, you said, right?
Yeah, the commercial entities is basically running at 3%.
Is that intuitively, I'm thinking that's quite a low number, or is that standard for what the numbers for a town usually are?
Yeah, you see, it's quite a challenge when you are operating in communal areas.
Mm-hmm.
People won't set up businesses within the Oshakati urban node itself. They would rather be on the outskirts, where you get land far much cheaper. Because because if you do a business and you come into the urban area, you have to pay rate and taxes, and market value issues starts kicking in, and sometimes people don't have that capital, and that's why you'll see in the northern areas people are rather opting to build in the outskirts. Now, this is perhaps what a lot of people don't see, but some of the most prominent business people in the north, obviously I don't want to mention names, but what they do is they understand these issues and they understand the development policy. So they built on the outskirts of Oshakati, in close proximity to the town boundary. So they look for land there, and then they built there. Then they put in their own services, electricity and so forth. Then they ramp up their business, and then they create value for their business. So when you build in a communal area, you have a registered business, so your asset is then valued basically based on your financial statements. So when you see that your business is growing, so what you then do, you then apply to the local authority and say you want to do an incorporation of your property into Oshakati.
Mm.
So Oshakati will then look at your property and said, but yeah, we can pull good rate in taxes here.
Mm-hmm.
There's revenue to be gained here, and we already have services close by.
Mm-hmm.
So they will then grant you to extend, to alter the town boundaries and to incorporate your property. Because the acts.
Okay.
And that's a beautiful thing of the Namibian development policy. Those
yeah.
provisions are there.
Yeah.
And then once that business owner then basically incorporated, then its value, the property value then suddenly jumped 40%. And then he has a very much huge equity.
Yeah.
He can then expand his business with that additional equity he has in the business.
So in that example, what would be a reason that the local authorities say, no, we don't approve of this this application that you have? That we don't want to extend our town to your business?
Yeah, it's basically their loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically their loss. But you see, when you do an application, you look at what the laws allows you to do.
Okay.
Yeah. And in that specific area, so what you then need to look at is you study the urban structure plan of that particular local authority.
Mm-hmm.
You look at their expansion strategy, and maybe your property is then located to how Oshakati is going to expand their industrial area, depending on the type of nature of business that you are into.
Mm-hmm.
And if that growth supports the direction of growth, then obviously they will not reject it. So obviously there are other documents that you need to look at
mm-hmm.
as well for you to benefit.
Yeah.
So you cannot do it in perpetuity to say that when I, once I apply, I will definitely gonna get approvals to that.
Yeah. And that's a very interesting cycle. I wasn't aware of at the time.
Yeah.
So is there any other particular data you want us to dive into when it comes to the town of Oshakati?
Yes. As I said, basically, we need to understand this transaction volume of 7,004 and the 2.8 billion 10 years revenue on the property side.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at where basically and what which year did these numbers happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at 2016, the transaction volume there was 266. Yeah. Then 2017, then it was 797.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that shows you already, but you must remember, for you to get these numbers, you need to do prior work.
Yeah.
So that when it comes to that year, you then do the transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that Oshakati was really planning, the servicing was happening,
mm-hmm.
and then they brought the land to the market. While 2018, we are looking at 760, which is a very, very consistent supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, surprisingly, in 2019, that is where we got the most volumes, 1,745.
Was that not COVID year?
Yeah, that was COVID year. But you must remember, COVID hit us round about towards December.
Okay.
That's where the COVID aspect really and the lockdown restrictions then came in.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time already, the transactions were running during the year.
Yeah.
So the registry, and I'm sure when you look at Oshakati's books, 2019 financial year was the best financial year I could look at, basically from the data that we're having. Equally so on 2020,
mm-hmm.
where they are also pushing around about 1,478 mm-hmm. transaction volumes. This is quite very, very impressive numbers. While 2021, the COVID effect start kicking in.
Okay.
And then we are looking at 977. In 2022, we are looking at 239.
Mm-hmm.
Things
like, but so can we attribute that to COVID?
That basically, it could be a COVID impact or it could be a stock aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because once your stockpile runs dry, your volumes drop drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that now when your stockpile runs dry, that means that you need now your planning phase.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also when you look at the data then tells you that during that time between 2021 and 2022, while there's such a...
Yes, so we'll continue on the other side of this.
Join us. us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with a full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Orlando Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theatre of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there.
Wait is over. The deals are here. It's Big Red Weekend for 3 days only. ShopRite brings you massive savings of up to 50% off. Like a 750 grams Ellis Brown Coffee Creamer, only 64 Namibian dollars. 5 kg Marathon White Sugar, just 96 Namibian dollars. 2 liter Coca-Cola Soft Drink, just 20 Namibian dollars each. Pampers Disposable Nappies or Pants, all variants, only 179 Namibian dollars per pack. Don't miss out. This weekend only, get up to 50% off. Valid until 21 June 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend. Why do you seem
so? We actually have a call on the line. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
What would you like to ask our expert today about the town of Oshakati?
I wanted to find out how does one go about buying land in Oshakati?
How does one go about buying land in Oshakati?
Yes.
Okay, no problem. We'll answer that for you in just a moment.
Okay, sure. I just hold the line.
You can just continue listening.
All right.
Thank you very much. Yes, so we had a caller there. I guess he was intrigued by what we just discussed with the whole communal land aspect. So he wants to know, how does he go about buying serviced land just land in Oshakati?
Well, there are various aspects.
Mm-hmm.
I think depending at which level of investment are you, and depending on the type of need,
mm-hmm.
I think that you can approach the property department. I think there's a wonderful gentleman there, Gideon,
mm-hmm.
Then he can put you on the registry so that whenever Oshakati is going to service, then your name is up and you will be able to get a portion of land,
mm-hmm.
or you go to the open market. And then you acquire land through the open market. And thirdly, you basically, depending if the type of land that you want, if you want to do developments, so then you basically do a huge development, you then apply to the Oshakati Town Council, then they will then give you, you draft a letter.
Okay. Yeah?
You draft a letter, you said you want land and you want to develop ABC,
mm-hmm.
and basically they will look at their land depository,
mm-hmm.
and then they will revert back to you. But for the listener, I think they must just stay tuned from hopefully from the 17th of July.
Mm-hmm.
They can go on the Ulwazi data portal.
Yeah.
They can just, punch in what they want, and then a letter can be issued to them to apply to any local authority.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to publish a lot of information around this space,
mm-hmm.
and people, we want to make sure people are informed and they are participating in the economy.
100%. And, before we continue on the topic we were on before the commercial break, the $2.8 billion that we referenced earlier, that includes land as well, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear for the listeners. Yeah.
So the 2.8 billion, as I said, it includes land, and mm-hmm. I also then touch a bit the 65% service land.
Yeah.
And while we are having a 35% with top structure. Top structure means a fully built where you when you move in, mm-hmm. you have a key in your hands.
So for a town, what is the ideal ratio to have between service land and land with a top structure on it? Is that 65 to 35, is that a good ratio, or is it too heavily leaning on one side?
Yeah, I think for me, Oshakati's approach is they are catering for all sectors in terms of affordability.
Mm-hmm.
The 35%, that is basically your upper echelons of affluent, of people that are working. They got a proper pay slip that mm-hmm. is probably earning 20,000 above.
Yeah.
Your civil servants and your people in the high echelon of the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
That is where for those people, that's what they need, the less hassles.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who just wants to build a sustainable home for a family, so you can basically say you buy the land.
Mm-hmm.
And once you buy the land, you then basically then build up. And then there's another sector, which is called the subsidized sector, which are the people in the informal area, and it's been formalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that sector is running between, say, close to 15 to 16%.
Okay.
But that sector, equally, as much as it's a social sector, is distorting the property market.
In what way?
Because property is about value and it's about number.
Yeah.
So if that transaction is like 5,000 and that individual needs to pay the local authority,
mm-hmm.
it gets recorded and it basically distorts the data. And that is basically one of the dangers, especially in the property market in Namibia, that we hardly talk about. And those key aspects, and it's important to always understand, if you buy any property in close proximity to an informal area,
mm-hmm.
it might not really fetch the intended market value. Because if you use the comparable sales method,
yeah.
so you will be able to absorb that subsidized properties, and it becomes quite and this is where the challenge where property valuers are having.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to do is to provide the wisdom and the knowledge for people to be able to make up their own, to give their own informed opinion on what is the appropriate market value.
100%. So this information is for everyone across the value chain, so to say, whether you're just a resident, whether you're a property developer, whether you're a business owner, this is the information you need to be taking in. And so as we wrap up here, Nishila, we have around 8 minutes left. Is there any other data you'd like us to continue diving in on the town of Oshakati?
Yes, I just want to conclude on 2022 up to 2026.
Yeah.
And this is probably where the critical aspect is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we said that 2022, the total transaction was 239.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went 2023, we are on 124. Then 2024, the transaction value of Oshakati was only 20.
2-0.
2-0. That okay. is what we could pick up. So it then tells you that during that period,
mm-hmm.
Oshakati was in a planning phase.
Okay.
Because they ran out of stockpile. So they're basically planning new township establishment, looking at their policy reviews and so forth. So there was that slum that we really experienced. And perhaps that the local authorities, because this information is available to the local authorities,
yeah.
to get yourself this market report data and information, so that you are able to understand your development patterns and how mm-hmm. you fell short.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically need to relook at your management structure and decision making
mm-hmm.
as to how you can, so that you keep your stockpile consistent.
Yeah.
Now, in the mining sector, when you say a stockpile, if your plant shuts down and your stockpile is low, So that means that it's danger.
Yeah.
So it's very important that local authorities need to understand this. While at 2025, we are then looking at 477.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that there was an uptick in that space. In 2026, we have thus far, we could only obtain 121 transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically tells you we are wait as to how the year is going to conclude.
Yeah.
But as I say, Ulwazi is here. We are just trending with data.
Mm-hmm.
We will give you, the show will be available throughout the year. And as the data is changing, the show will have always new insights on the data space. And I think that is basically the high level analytics in terms of the transaction volumes in Oshakati.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I think there's big ups to Oshakati. They've really done a wonderful job in terms of land servicing.
Yeah.
I know that they also are accommodating a development workshop, Sheikh Dwellers,
yeah,
in that space. But what a brilliant in land management. I think that is a town to watch. We need to emulate it. We need to emulate and see,
mm-hmm,
what they are doing. While when you look at your sister town of Ongwediva, and Ongwediva currently is struggling, but we will dwell down into that data at a later stage.
Yes, I'm very interested in that one.
Please, if you can tell us which town we need to unpack
mm-hmm,
anytime. Let us know which town you want us to unpack on Monday.
Yeah.
But currently now, what we have in mind, I think, is what are we looking at? Wolfish Bay.
Wolfish, yeah.
So basically, stay tune in on Monday, guys. We will definitely look into the Wolfish Bay data and give you a similar in-depth approach of what development investment is guided through investment and data.
Yes, and my final question for you is, we were speaking a lot about data-backed information, so I just want to get your personal view looking at the next 10 years. Do you think we will reach, for Oshakati now in particular, will we reach years again where we have 1,500 transactions? Do you foresee that in Oshakati's future in the next 10 years?
I do foresee it in Oshakati in the next 10 years, but mm-hmm, it depends as where they are key focus. Now, because our democracy is now very mature,
yeah,
capitals becomes very difficult and sophisticated,
yeah,
because now we have sophisticated system, very critical analysis that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very, very important development,
yeah,
for Oshakati Town Council, which is the tourism sector.
Mm.
When you look at your infrastructure,
mm-hmm,
what Road Authority invested, or what government invested,
mm-hmm,
in the bypasses, your transits, you know, you can, from Oshakati to any other town, it costs you 20, 15 minutes, then you are there.
Exactly.
So, and that is the unique space. And I'm always saying that Oshakati needs to start looking into a tourism hub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to build a traditional authority for all the traditional authorities in the north,
mm-hmm,
Kwanyama, Ukwambi. So there must be that one big house.
Yeah.
And the other, then they need to move very fast. The other aspect is that we also had clients that were looking to park their buses,
mm,
in Oshakati. There is no parking space for long distance buses.
Yeah, they all park at service stations.
It's chop block.
Yeah.
That is an indication that if they don't address that issue,
yeah,
and for instance, if Ongwediva wakes up and they provide a better approach to long transit, they can lose that market.
Exactly.
So they need to move quickly, expand quickly, execute. Now they need to look at the trading areas.
Yeah.
Those trading areas will then activate your residential, and we can then quickly get back to those numbers.
100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this was the first of many editions of Ulwazi, giving you knowledge on all things land and development. Be sure to stay tuned into the show. We'll be back on Monday afternoon as well. Every Monday and Saturday, we will be bringing you Ulwazi. As Nishila said, if there's any town in particular you'd like us to look into, simply comment on our social media post, Eagle FM Namibia, or send us a WhatsApp message at 081-200-4144. And we will catch you guys on Monday for the next edition of Ulwazi.